Hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, the host. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We buy and sell all forms of precious metals, numismatic coins, estates, collections. We specialize, as you're probably well aware, in wealth and capital preservation. That's helping people secure their financial bedrock in a solid, long-term, biblical, conservative financial way. We consider ourselves precious metals portfolio experts. And we really help people build a solid foundational base. And we've seen some pretty good market activity lately in the since Trump won, and the Dow Jones and the stock markets are kind of rallying. And I think it's a precursor to, you know, I guess the bottom line is this, folks. Trump being in office is a fantastically, wonderfully, terrifically amazing thing. But it's not going to be the peaceful world that we maybe hope. It may be just the opposite. It's kind of like I've said before. When my wife cleans the kitchen, you want to leave the house. Everything comes out of the cupboards. It's just the way she does it. And I feel a little bit like that's what we're going to be faced with. We've got the left-wing media. Folks, we are heading, by all practical purposes, by the way, Coins Plus can be reached at 444-0044 locally in Spokane. Outside the area, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN. That's 877-827-COIN. Or 877-827-2646 if you're utterly confused by now. Or through our website at coinsplus.com. Quite frankly, the election of Trump is ironic. It is absolutely magnificent. It's revolutionary. It's a form of a revolution, because if you think of the power and the magnitude of the media that it has become, I mean, think about it. What, you know, and why are kids flying off the handles? Why are we getting all these protests? Because of media. Why? These kids get all their information through Twitter, Facebook, you know, you name it. They are getting bad information. They're getting left-wing slanted junk that has no more journalistic quality to it than the garbage you buy at a candy store. That's what it is. It's journalistic candy. It's lies. These kids don't have the first clue what's going on. They're not taught how to think. They're all mad because Bernie isn't in office to give them free college. They don't know there's no such thing as free anything. Everything comes at a price. You know, I used to hear that saying, well, nothing in life is free and there's no free lunches. And I used to think, well, that's not true. There's free stuff. But, you know, now I get it. There's a cost to everything. Everything has some form of a value. And if it's free, someone's paying for it, or it's of no value. And, you know, that's what they don't get. But what one thing that's really going on now that I'm running into, with the left, basically, as I did a show here recently on cultural Marxism, okay, and some may call it secular humanism or secular progressivism, or they've got all these fancy names. It is the same thing. It is taking the exact antithesis of what our founding fathers believed, of what the Bible preaches, of what this country stood for, and is turning it all on its head. It's these new age-minded thought, you know, I don't want to go there. But anyway, it's just ridiculous, okay? It's a form of absolute deception. I was, you know, today I was listening to Trump speak, or Obama speak, and he was talking about while people are rioting and stuff. So here's his logic. So he says, you know, it's a big change and it's scary for people. And so this is the professor in him, if you want to call him that. This is the liberal socialist mindset. He says, well, under these circumstances, people tend to retract into a sense of tribalness and sect. And I don't even remember the other words he used. But basically, these are words that I remember reading in college psychology and sociology. Now, sociology, and for those of you who've been to college or have kids or grandkids that are going, sociology is no more of a science than, you know, just a philosophy. I mean, sociology is a bunch of theory, and it's a way that they form children's minds into socialistic mentality. It talks about groups of people. It creates artificial compassion and empathy. It teaches the kids, you know, you can't look at a Muslim nation by its religion. You have to see these are real people that cook and clean and have children. And, you know, and it just totally is a way to present these cultures, you know, to us, to our children, to make them say, see, they're just like you. They're people too. And because we have a common bond with them as human beings, we should not ever want to conflict with them or disagree with them. If you think of the illogic stupidity of that, it's ridiculous. You know, our humanity is a God-given gift. The fact that we exist, just because God made us all doesn't mean that we all cave in to one another. And this, the younger socialistic-minded populace has this can't we all just love one another mentality. Folks, there is a biblical love. The love in the Bible is a firm, true love. The problem is they take biblical, you know, concepts and they remove the God from it. And as it says in Timothy, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. They want to adopt all these attributes of a believer and of God and you know, of love and charity and all these things. But when you remove God from it, it is nothing. And even Paul, you know, he says, if I have not love, I am nothing. Folks, God said, I am love. That's the thing. Love is not just an emotion. Love is not just an action. Love is the embodiment of God. When we have love for one another on earth, that is an emotional attachment. But love in the Bible is a level of commitment that is only found in the Bible and nowhere else. I mean, there is no other. You think of Islam. I mean, what is, you know, the second largest religion in the world? Where I've read a lot of the Quran, not all of it, but guess what? There ain't no love in there, folks. You know, Paul says, if I speak with tongues of men and angels but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And many of you probably already know there's the Greek language was at such a peak when the New Testament was written, just as the Old Testament was in ancient Hebrew. And they had, you know, so many more words than we have. They say that, I don't even remember the numbers, I'll butcher them, but it's literally like a 7-to-1 ratio of words that they have. That's why I love studying the Greek and the Hebrew when you read the Word of God, because you can find out what exactly that meant. We have one word for love. I love cars. I love chocolate. I love you. You know, I love jumping off cliffs into the water. You know, I love the sun. I mean, it's one word. We say, oh, those two are in love and they're gay. We say those two are in love and they're heterosexual. We say she loves him and they're friends. You know, we have one word that we apply to everything. That is absolutely contradictory to the Word of God. The Word of God has a whole battery of different words. And most of you are familiar with the most powerful one of all is agape. Agape love is the love that Paul speaks of when he says, if I have not love, I am a, you know, a clanging gong or whatever noisy cymbal, which is probably what I am too to most of you people. But agape is a commitment love. It's a love that is benevolent. It's an activity. It's a physical commitment. It's like, I love my wife, and therefore I've made a commitment to her. My love, my emotional love may waver, but my commitment love never wavers. That's why we stand and we commit when we get married. And that's why America's marital rate, I should say divorce rate, is through the roof. Because we're losing commitment. We're losing integrity. You know, who may dwell in the house of the Lord? Psalms 15. It's about having integrity. It's about swearing to your own hurt, it says in Psalms 15. That's who God loves. If you think about that, I mean, God loves that kind of a mentality. He wants somebody that hit their word. We know Proverbs tells us our word is nothing. There's nothing more important on earth than our word, our reputation. You know, and when he says, who may abide in your, oh Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks with integrity, works righteousness, speaks truth in his heart, you know, doesn't slander, doesn't do evil to his neighbor. And I want to say that, folks, be a good neighbor. Don't be an obnoxious jerk. I was familiarized here with a situation a little bit ago where a guy who I know is a Christian is a terrible neighbor. He's harassing people. You know, from his perspective, he's got his reasoning. That is not it. We do not do the tit for tat. Oh, they did, you know, they did this, they did that. We walk the high road. We set the bar. We need to be good examples. One of my pet peeves and one of the world's greatest pet peeves is hypocrisy in your faith. Men need to be men of integrity. You do what you say what you do. I just went through another construction issue. I do a lot of different kind of projects. I had a guy who just took me for a ride. Just devastated a project. His word was bad. I took him for his word. You know, when you look, it kind of reminds me when people look at someone like Trump and they go, oh, look at all these people that are opposed to him. Well, folks, how many people has he brushed elbows with over the years? That's one thing people don't understand is when you're out doing business and you're conducting, you are continuously exposing yourself to people all the time. Well, guess what? When you expose yourself to people, and the potential for integrity or a lack thereof, and the exchange of financial services and resources, you are increasing your risk and likelihood of having confrontation, especially if you expect integrity. So when someone like Trump, you know, has people that say, oh, he didn't pay me for such and such project that Hillary tries to parade out. I mean, they are so good at being so bad, and the destruction of them in this election is so earth-shattering, because not only did they lose, it's not just about the fact that they lost. It's that they lost to Donald Trump, who's the exact epitome opposite of they of them. So anyway, what I was saying is it goes on and it says, you know, you don't do evil to your neighbor. Please, as a believer, folks, you do good to your neighbor. And I'm not saying you just bring him a casserole, you know. I'm saying that you are just a good person. There's so much we can do for people in our mannerism, in the way we present ourselves, the way we approach people, the way we show empathy with a reasonable level of concern, you know, the way we look out for our neighbor's house, the way we look out for their kids, the way we treat them as we would want to be treated. That is who we are as believers. That we want to be the bedrock of society for integrity. You don't, for so many years, I wanted to profess Christ verbally, and it didn't work a lot. But what I've learned is to profess him in my actions, and then eventually you develop relationships and you develop respect. People, they always say people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. There's truth to that. But they also want to learn that you do what you say you do. When you meet somebody you don't even know and they start preaching Christ to you, well, that's okay, I guess. It's right. But you don't know that person. I mean, I would, you know, before I was a believer, I had that happen. And I don't know them. I actually would think they're weird. I'd say, well, you're not like me. You don't understand my situation. But once, you know, we establish lifestyle evangelism where they know us, you know, we don't have to tell them every 5 minutes that we're doing it for Jesus. There's a reason why there's a commandment that says not to use the Lord's name in vain. He's the God of the universe. If you're one of these, I know a guy who is high ranking in a church organization, and he just constantly, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I mean, it becomes vanity. It becomes a form of not listening. It's not, you know, God's word is powerful and true and awesome. And we need to respect it as that. We need to think of ourselves, if you go back to, you know, the times of serfs and, you know, when you had a king and you were just a serf, you know, that king was a powerful, powerful man. You had to be careful about how and when and where you spoke his name. And you had better make sure, because these communities were small and there was little birds all over that were listening, you had to make sure that you never spoke ill of that king. And that is who we have lost our way from. That's who we need to be when we speak of the God of the universe. We've got to honor him. When we pray to him, you don't lay back in your, you know, it's okay sometimes to kick back in your lazy boy recliner, read the Bible and pray, but just remember who you're praying to. If the only time you pray is at night when you're passing out, you're giving him your last. You're giving him, he says he wants your first fruits. But if you're doing that, you're giving him your absolute last. Now, if you give him your first fruits and your last fruits, then praise God. I mean, if you get up in the morning and you kneel before him and you turn your day over to him and ask him to guide you and, you know, confess and all that, and then by the end of the day when you're exhausted, you're still praying to God while you pass out, then amen. Because, you know, the Bible says we need to be continuously in prayer. But if you just set aside your most, you know, least time, your weakest, worst time for him, that's what you are giving the God of the universe, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then how can you expect any different from him? So we need to honor him with our first fruits, and that's just not our wealth. And by the way, folks, tithing is a real thing. Tithing's a biblical principle. It's a biblical concept. It's what we're supposed to do. He gets a tenth of our money. People say, oh, the New Testament's different. You know, oh, you got to give with a cheerful heart. Well, there's unfortunately some people out there that never can. Okay, so I've heard people use that excuse. Well, I just give a little here and there. You know, I throw a $5 bill in the offering plate because that's all I can really give cheerfully. I've actually heard people say that. That's not it. Tithing, God is, I mean, a tenth is all he wants. There's no reason our government can't live on a tenth of our income. If our government took a tenth of our income only, period, they would get every penny they get now. Because the economy would explode, money would come out of the woodwork. We've used the IRS so extensively to chase down every possible thing we can imagine. Folks, think about this. There are so much revenue that trades hands illegally. Drug dealers and whatever. They can't go spend cash on a Mercedes. They go to jail. They can't. They got to hide it. They got to launder it. They got to do all this stuff. And yet the IRS will actually charge them with tax evasion when they're arrested. Most big drug dealers get far longer sentences for tax evasion than they do the drug crime. But if we're really concerned about taxing income and revenue, we should have a system that allows those people to pay as well. You know, I mean, people have said a national sales tax. I mean, I don't know that, you know, that's one concept, but the problem is that is always unlimited. It always goes and goes and goes. But if they really want, they should have, I say they should have a rule that if you make an income a certain way, that you should be able to claim it and pay tax on it, and it should only be 10%. If it's good enough for God, I think it's good enough for our government. I think government waste is out of control. Our founding fathers wanted our government to be no bigger than the border of anarchy and to completely avoid socialism. So anyway, what I was saying is on the, you know, the, if I have not love, I am nothing. You know, it tells us in Psalms 15 that you don't do evil to your neighbor. You don't take up a reproach against a friend. You hate a reprobate. Okay, you don't. Yeah, I remember for years before my parents became believers, they lived next door to an abortion doctor. And I used to get so mad when his wife would come over. It drove me nuts. And my mom would be like, oh, they're good people. And I'm like, no, they're not, Mom. They're not. They're murdering people. God wants us to have righteous indignation, okay? Now, as far as hanging with non-believers, sure. You know, that's okay. I mean, that's the way of the world. But when people are living a reprobate life, a life of sin, we cannot bond with them as friends. If you have a friend who is practicing homosexuality, you can't be their best friend. You can be their best Christian friend. You can be their best witness, but you cannot co-mingle with them in a way that you are condoning the lifestyle. If you're in a situation where they can say to somebody else, well, I'm a homosexual and my best friend's a Christian and she's totally cool with it. Well, then you are not representing Christ in a proper way. You're not representing Christ in a way that is going to draw that person out of their sinful lifestyle. You know, contrary to what's happening in society, to the Joel Osteen movement, Christ offers a message of offense. Offensiveness. Christ's message offends those who live in sin. It is a message of, you cannot have a message of redemption, unfortunately, without a message of condemnation. You can't just feed people a message of redemption. People think, I've heard the, you know, all kinds of stuff, obviously. I've heard people say, well, you know, like Oprah, well, Jesus died for everybody, and there's only one, you know, Jesus may be the way and the truth and the life, but there's many different ways to Jesus. You know, that's not the case. Otherwise, what's the point? If everybody's going to heaven, why did Jesus even need to come and die? To save the entire human race? I mean, he gave the human race opportunity. Our life existence on this earth from God is about one thing and one thing alone, and that is opportunity and choice. We have free will. Now, God will draw us in, the Bible says, and draw us near to him, but we still have that final choice to choose or reject him. And when we say, Lord, I know you can turn the man of, or the heart of any man, you can make man do what he wants. He can, but he doesn't. He'll draw and he'll create circumstances and he'll do everything else. But that final decision is up to us because God wants a man or our spirit that goes to heaven with him by choice. The whole point of why we exist is because God wants a free will being to choose to be with him in heaven. It's much like what we see with the Trump organization. You had so many defectors when the going got tough, and they say that Trump says he is a diehard. Everyone around him says he absolutely respects loyalty, come hell or high water. Those are the people he's going to reward greatly, and he should. And he's gotten lobbyists, and he's getting rid of things. Folks, there's going to be some change in this country. It's going to get cleaned up. The media is going to make us think it's dirty. Last night, they got mad at him because he went to dinner at Club 21 in New York with his family, and he quote-unquote ditched the press. I saw a video of the cavalcade, the motorcade. Unbelievable. 32 blacked-out Suburbans with red and black or red and blue lights. First, they barricaded the roadway. Very impressive. I'm sorry, but the, you know, of course, the mayor of New York was hideously angry. he says that Trump is ruining his traffic and whatnot. But, you know, folks, it's impressive to see a guy. And when they're so worried about his lack of knowledge and understanding, like what I was saying earlier about Trump coming out with, or I mean, Obama coming out with all of his sociological rhetoric and rubbish. I mean, Trump has run a massive business. His entire life depends on effective decision-making with accountability and consequences. Nobody else in office has experienced suffering real consequences. Hillary now does. Hillary, for the first time in her life, has had the consequences of all of her behavior. And not only, I mean, obviously, she's heavily humiliated because, you know, Trump, he did. He took a tough, hard run at her, and it was, I from the very start, I condemned Trump for not being godly in his behavior, but at the same time, it obviously worked. Politics is a different world. It's like Sun Tzu said, ferocious in battle, magnanimous in victory. And so far he has been. I think that Trump needs to come out and speak, and he needs to try to unite the American people. This is what I think, but who am I guess. But I do believe that in all this rioting, these people, 70% of these people in Portland never voted. They're not even registered to vote. They're paid criminals. They're destroying property. The media is absolutely encouraging this behavior. Folks, have we not lost it in this country? Seriously? I mean, we hear ourselves say that, and we start to think, maybe it's just me, maybe this, maybe that. No, we've lost it. I mean, we have lost it. The left-wing media is out of control. Absolutely out of control. You know, they've got, like I said, now they're talking about getting rid of, well, I'll try to find it here on an article. It says that Facebook and whoever else, I'll find it here. But it says that they are going to get rid, now after the election, they're going to get rid of fake and misleading news sites. So all of these news sites that are out there, like The Blaze, Zero Hedge, Drudge, fake and misleading. If they have anything that they view as a conservative bias, they're going to remove them. They're no longer going to give people access to anything that is center or right. Okay? Now, here's the problem. This country, because of sin, man tends to fall into sin without redemption, do they not? So this country continues to move left. It's very interesting how, you know, I mean, how sin pulls us down. We just go further and further and further down. You know, in Proverbs, it says clearly, it talks about the left and the right. And people don't even realize that that was mentioned in the Bible, that God literally said, you know, that the fool leans towards the left and the wise man leans towards the right. And people don't realize that's in the Bible. That is exactly why Congress was set up the way that it was. Let's see if I can find that here. Well, it's anyway. But that scripture is exactly why our founding fathers developed the congressional seating layout the way they did, because they knew that the left was a foolish thing. And when they first started, we would get like foreign dignitaries and stuff that sat there, but on the left, but most of the time, no. And actually, you know, it's a known factor as long as, you know, since the Bible's been written. So basically the thing that instead of the left is not learning, they're not going to change. And instead of adapting to what the people want, they're frantic, they're panicking, they can't believe that people are not buying the socialistic mindset. Folks, right now, and you know, when they say that they're going to remove these quote-unquote fake websites, there's a reason for that, because they've got to stop the dissemination of information to people like you're listening to right now. They've got to stop it. They know that people that speak the truth are their enemies. Donald Trump last night. So New York Times issues an apology after the election to their subscription base and says, "We're sorry. We admit that we were very biased in the election, and we'll do everything we can to fix that bias." So last night, their article says, now this is it. Trump left for dinner with his family, and he didn't want the press brigade with him. Shocker, right? I mean, who'd want to take the press to dinner with his family? So the news article from New York Times says, Trump already becoming the least transparent president in modern history. Okay, this is after Obama, the professional liar. But the point is, the media has covered for Obama over and over again. So, you know, I think you get the irony of that. And the deception that we are under right now, I will call the inclusion delusion, okay? So they say that we need to be all inclusive. As long as the left continues the hate rhetoric, it's, you know, there's a combative, I guess you'd call it, confrontational behavior that's considered terrible for communication. It's called projecting. So what that means is, if you are being rude and mean, you accuse the other person of being rude and mean. It's when a spouse cheats on their spouse and accuses them of cheating, okay? It's called projecting. It's a tendency. I don't know if it's because of the mindset. It's sort of like the left assumes everybody's a liar, a cheat, and a thief. And I was listening to some media guy a while ago. He says, you need to always assume everybody's cheating on their spouse. He listed all these things off, and he said, until proven otherwise. Well, he's been divorced 4 times. It was just, you know, this is the perspective of the left. The left-wing media, America cannot really heal, folks, until the left-wing media hate machine stops. The same media outlets that, you know, absolutely praised Barack Obama for 8 years have set their sights on sabotaging the Trump administration already, even before it starts. They're just spewing vicious scripted attacks. Melania, and even now this Steve Bannon thing, I'm sure you've seen all this, who they have absurdly labeled as an anti-Semite without a shred of evidence to support the accusation. They're calling him anti-Semitic. Why? Because his ex-wife claimed in court papers that he said that he didn't want his kids going to school with these other Jews. That's it. I mean, they have to attack them as, racist and sexist. In the young crowd, I've talked to young people, this is the mentality. And the anti-Trump people are under this delusion that the 8 years of the Obama administration brought about some kind of American unification, that we were all basically harmonious in this country, and now all that harmony is dissolved because Trump was elected. I mean, this is as stupid as the concept, as Bill O'Reilly said, of Kanye West saying he's going to run for president in 2020. The fact is that more than 60 million Americans who voted for President Trump do not feel that President Obama included them in his grand left-wing conspiracy. So they voted against continuing his legacy by giving power to Donald Trump. Okay? They, you know, Obama was terribly divisive and pro-Muslim, and folks, my goodness, and anti-cop, and you just can go on and on. I mean, clearly stated, there's not a man on this earth that is more opposite of Barack Obama than Donald Trump. It's the irony of God. And I've discussed the meaning of Trump's name over and over. a final overriding factor or resource. Our prayers have been answered. Now, he may not look like what we want, but if we got what we think we want, would they really make the change necessary? Or did we get the biggest bulldog on planet Earth? I mean, God, you know, Trump's a billionaire for a reason. He smashes through walls with his forehead, let's be honest. But he's also got tact and diplomacy and class and the highest standards, very possibly, of any man on earth. Now, there's many billionaires out there, but Trump made every penny by cutting deals and making deals. Many of these people will build companies that explode and do incredible things, but he made it the old-fashioned hard way. So we've got to realize that 60-plus million people who voted is a huge amount of Americans, and they're connected, interested Americans, and many of them have felt completely excluded and not included by President Obama's policies. It's not inclusive. I mean, to be specific about this stuff, right? I mean, Obama has not been inclusive by spitting in the eye of religious Americans by forcing nuns to fund birth control and promote abortion without limits. I mean, any sane person would probably agree that it's not inclusive to Americans who hold sincere beliefs on pro-life views, right? So it's the same thing with forcing Americans to pay more for health insurance so the poor can have free or subsidized health care with no strings attached, while our lives become very strapped and very uncomfortable and we lose coverage. It's good for the have-nots. That's socialism. But millions of hardworking Americans have not been included in any of the benefits of Obamacare. They get hurt by the higher premiums and lack of medical choices. And when my dad was out at Harborview, I heard about it from the nurses. The coverage isn't that great. The thing they said they love, they deal with the diligent or the indigent, I'm sorry. And they, you know, in other words, people who have nothing, they get free health care. They said a meth addict, she gave me an example. A meth addict who's been in and out of jail and hospitals goes out, gets hit by a car, gets brain damage, all this stuff. They rush him to the hospital. They do an incredible amount of surgeries on him. And while he's in recovery, and a couple days later when he comes out, they actually have him sign up for Obamacare, and Obamacare retroactively covers the surgery. Folks, I have a background in actuarial science, the probability of insurance. If everybody's included, all you're calculating at that point is how much it's going to cost to pay for everybody. You cannot control your loss as an insurance company if you have no limitations on who gets coverage. It's physically impossible. And now how Trump's going to do it, I don't know. I have a real strong feeling that when Obama sat down with him, I think Obama's incredibly persuasive, and he did something that tugged on the heartstrings of Trump, saying you got to keep these 20 million people insured that didn't have insurance. It's too expensive. It's good, you know, it's not inclusive to ignore the hard drug epidemic in America that it affects families, kills thousands, and then diverts the attention of the Justice Department into controversies. Who can argue about, you know, who can use a transgender bathroom? The drug war is taking us down. I mean, Portugal legalized drugs, I think, 11 years ago. They've had a huge drop in violent crime, massive drops in overdoses, and all the effects of that come with illicit drug use. When you make anything black market, now, folks, don't get me wrong, the whole marijuana thing, I am so torn on this because I hate what the drugs do to people. I hate it. But I actually think that there's a better way. I think when larger parts of government get involved, it seems to become a huge corrupt money pit. And there are solutions I won't get into today that I believe in. Then the worst thing that's gotten completely out of control is this illegal immigration stuff. I mean, I can't even believe this. Sanctuary City stuff. We've got Rahm Emanuel coming out. We've got the police chief of San Francisco saying we're going to protect these criminals. I heard a guy here a couple nights ago talk about a gang leader that they caught in L.A. for murder. He was Mexican, you know, from whatever the bad gang is down there. He was affiliated with the drug cartel. He had diplomatic immunity from the president of Mexico. They busted him for murder here, and they had to put him on a plane and fly him back to Mexico to, quote-unquote, be tried there. Well, they said he just disappeared back into the system, back into society. Because he had diplomatic immunity, he had to be tried on his own homeland. He could not be tried here, so he could do anything he wanted. Trump has said there's 2 to 3 million hardcore violent felons in this country illegally without a visa or proper citizenship. And the people are fighting to keep these people because they have an uncle or a cousin who's a felon. I mean, we've lost our minds. There's no other country in the world like this without a border, folks. It's not inclusive to fail to monitor the workplace so that foreign nationals who have no right to be here can waltz in and get jobs that the rest of us cannot. Because now they get special favoritism. Everybody's been brainwashed. Oh, if a person has dark skin, you need to favor them over a white person. Black lives matter. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And then if you say all lives matter, you go down. They destroy you because the left-wing media is doing this, folks. I mean, I'm thinking Trump's probably going to avoid the media a lot. I think he's never going to get proper credit for the work he's done. I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm telling you, the media doesn't seem to be waking up. When you get slapped, you know, I used to compete in all kinds of things. I grew up boxing. I was in martial arts competitively, full contact stuff. When you get beat, you learn a ton. You don't sit around and make excuses and spin. Obama said himself, you're not just voting for Hillary, you're voting for my legacy. And if you don't vote her in, I will take it as a personal insult to my legacy. Well, now he's saying, oh, it's because she wasn't a good candidate and she really won the popular vote. The point of the Electoral College, folks, is to get all the states involved. If they just went by popular vote, they would just go to like 10 metropolitan areas. And if you could influence those 10 metropolitan areas, or even 6 of them, to think a certain way, you could absolutely change America, and the rest of the United States would have no say. The Electoral College is a way to keep all 50 states in play. It makes the candidates pay attention to each and every state. It is a good system. It makes sense. Now that she supposedly won the popular vote, which she didn't because they stopped counting absentee ballots, and they campaigned for the electoral system. Because of that, you know, they're starting to criticize the electoral system. It works. You can't win. You can't lose under a certain set of rules and say if the rules were different, I would have won. You know, we're excluding American citizens from fair marketplace competition because of all the illegal immigrants that they really do work cheaper and they do drive down incomes. And people say, you know, oh, they're doing jobs no one else wants to do. That's a bunch of malarkey. There was never a problem filling those jobs before. The fantasy of open borders is absolutely not inclusive when most Americans strongly reject that concept. The left-wing agenda, cultural Marxism, it's all part of the game. Bring in all these non-Americans that have no respect for this country. They have no ties. They have no, you know, they have no vested interest. They've got no skin in the game. They can come and suck it dry and leave if it blows. You know, as far as on the safety front, it's not inclusive to fail to protect the poor, even in Chicago, from this ridiculous murderous gang violence that's been going on for years while the city fathers have done absolutely nothing to contain it. I mean, you and I might not be faced with gang violence, but that's not the case for millions of inner city residents all over the country. The cities are tough. We've got to clean them up. Many urban folks are not included in effective public safety policies. I mean, likewise, failing to protect all Americans from illegal alien felons who defy deportation is not inclusive. There should be zero tolerance for those kinds of people. Instead, cities like San Francisco harbor these felons, illegal immigrants, and they exclude all law-abiding Americans from the protection they deserve and that they pay for through their own taxes, and they protect these illegal immigrant felons. Children in bad schools are not included in quality education, are they? I mean, the left fights desperately against charter schools and vouchers for the poor, which would give low-income families school choice. Why, folks, why do you think they do this? It's control. They want to control the mindset of the people. They want everybody to become equally poor, but it won't happen that way. And the wealthy people don't want the poor people, and that's usually led by the left. They oppose school competition. That is not inclusive. There should be no, people should be able to go where they want, when they want. I mean, we've got different life views all over this country. We've got racism. Obama, you know, if he's so inclusive, I mean, he has brought racism to a height I could never have imagined. I remember when they were saying racial tensions were as high as they were in 67 years back, and it's worse now. And then they've got the gay thing going on. They've put that down. And, of course, the condemnation goes towards the religious right. They force business people to support gay marriages when their own religious beliefs are, being challenged. That is not inclusive either. This country was built on conscientious objection. And now we're having all that stripped away. The government targets the assets of successful Americans and demonizes them with people like Bernie Sanders. Folks, do not be fooled that taxing the rich is okay. It is not. If you have success, you are not a villain. You are not a different person. You're a better person. And just because you work hard and you succeed, that does not mean you owe the government a thing. You know, you want to give the charities and stuff, you're welcome to do that. But this concept that the rich have to pay their fair share, the left isn't going to learn. They're going to increase the brainwashing. And, you know, maybe they'll change the guard in the Democratic Party, but you and I know they're going left. They're going Bernie Sanders left. Bernie said that Hillary lost because she didn't listen to the voters' constituency and offer them enough stuff. They want more free stuff, he says. So in his mind, he's like, oh, I know how to campaign. You stand up there and you promise them ridiculous stuff, amount, quantities of stuff. I mean, what kind of there's no integrity to that. It's a lie, but the people are so dumb they keep voting for it year after year. You know, the fair share contains the word fair, and it's not. The achievers in America, if they are honest, deserve applause, not derision based on jealousy and entitlement. It's not inclusive to punish Americans that have assets by seizing their property after death and imposing a hypertaxation or an estate tax on them. I mean, estate tax is ridiculous. Anthony Weiner was on one day with Megan years back, saying it's not their money, they're dead, they're gone, it doesn't matter. I mean, they literally think this way. You spend your life accumulating wealth and they want to confiscate it all? They do not want any family to be wealthy. They want to strip the wealth away and start the game over again. They act like it's a game where you work, okay, you won, now let's take it all apart and start over again and see who wins again. That is not fair. That's not inclusive. It's wrong. And of course, so many of these politicians are from very wealthy families. They've got their wealth secured. So of course they want to take yours away and give it to the government, because after all, it gives them a better infrastructure, it gives them more votes, and their income's not in jeopardy because it's already passed through all these portals so that it's secured in some life trust and, you know, foundations like the Clintons. The national media in this country, I mean, first of all, I guess with taxation, we need some, no doubt, but we've gotten to the point where it is gouging, and so many people think they're patriotic by paying their 25% to the feds. It's too much. It's wasted. The national media in this country excludes traditional Americans from fair play. Folks, it's hard. You can't even, you have to be ashamed if you're not a minority. You know, if you actually want to stand up for your group, if you're not a minority, you're politically incorrect and you'll be crushed. They mock and demean conservative, Bible-believing Christians. This is what the media does now. They brand us instantly. If you're a born-again believer, you're instantly racist, sexist, and hate in a hate group. This is, they have absolutely gotten out the dirtiest words on earth. You know, this awful trend is basically being championed on the internet, which pretty much excludes anyone who's not liberal from inclusion in the good person club. Nothing the government can do about that other than criticize dishonest and hateful reporting, which is what we need to start to do. You know, the media in general praised Obama. They never criticized him. We're in a, and they've created a fantasy world that basically encourages, you know, the furtherance of the same. So we absolutely just need to be aware of this. We need to just be aware. We've got to understand what's going on. There is a serious spin in this country. Despite the majority of Americans choosing Donald Trump as president, the media is spinning us further and further left. They are the socialists. They, if you think they take the most negative, condemning, skeptical, paranoid view on everything. Everything they see, they spin and twist. We've all seen it. Someone says a perfectly clear statement with a perfectly clear intention, and the media spins it around against them. So, folks, I guess, you know, I guess we're in a good place, but I'll tell you another thing I want you to be really aware of. When Trump goes to work, the world's going to get rough. And precious metals-based assets, we are moving into biblical times, unquestionably biblical times. We've got a president that is a gift and a blessing from God, and we are going, you know, things aren't going to get easier in the Middle East. They're going to get rougher. Things are going to get tough. We're probably going to see some a lot of activity in warfare and whatnot. I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. Well, biblical hard assets are going to see a rally in the Trump administration. There's no question about it. There's going to be tough times ahead. The rest of the world knows. People with true wealth around the world, folks, they secure it in hard assets. You don't think that they put it in the Dubai stock market or the Indian stock market. No. They buy gold and silver and hard assets and collectibles. That's why they'll build these big mansions and buy Ferraris and, you know, expensive vases and everything, because it's worth something. It really is. And in America, of all the countries in the world, we realize that the least. We think it's okay to have our money parked in cyber dots somewhere. Folks, there's 1,000 ways that you could lose every penny that's sitting out there in a paper. It's not even paper. What is it? It's electricity. As long as there's electricity running to the computer that says you have something in there, you're good. The minute that electricity to that computer shuts off, you're out. The atoms that dictate what you're supposedly worth dissipate into thin air. If we got an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse bomb, it would shut down this country for many years. And we don't know what the future holds. I was kind of touching on Mystery Babylon on the last show. Stuff's coming. Now, if you've got a 401k or an IRA and you absolutely demand to keep your money in it and you don't want to get it out, then get it into metals. We can do that. At least you're going to own what God said to own, and what was good enough for Jesus should be good enough for you. From the beginning of the written human history, second chapter of Genesis, God showed the creation in Genesis 1, Genesis 2. He told them gold is good, and he used the most powerful word in the Old Testament, tav. And he told them where to get it, and then economics began. He blessed his patriarchs with precious metals, you know, and that's how he built wealth. He gave them gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, and precious stones. And that's where wealth dwells, period, timelessly. It never changes. You have the ability to do that. Again, if you have a 401k or IRA, just call us at 444-0044. Or toll-free 877-TAP-COIN. We convert them over all the time. We're coming up on a good time of the year where you can pull out your, you can roll out of a 401k at the beginning of the year. You can have 16 months to pay tax on it. And in that meantime, just the growth alone on the metals can pay for your tax. A lot of people did it last year, and a lot of people are listening know they were able to pay the taxes when metals were up 20-some percent from where they'd bought. You know, this last year, even though metals are down right now, they're, well, temporarily, the Trump dump, they're still up 15 to 25% year to date. I mean, that ain't bad. You know, for a bad year in the metals only being up 15 or 25%, I'll admit, precious metals traders are a little bit spoiled. But it's a hard asset. You never lose it. You've always got it. It's true savings. Now we're back at a point where it ain't going down. So get your money in there. Give us a call. We build a good portfolio. Trust me. So 444-0044 or toll-free 877-TAP-COIN. We've been doing it 20 years. Our customers do well. We will take terrific care of you. We appreciate the support and loyalty. Also, we have a program. I'm a little out of time. If you leave a couple positive reviews for us on the internet and you call, we verify them. We'll give you a nice quality 1800s Morgan silver dollar, and that's up to a $50 value. So go out on the web, Google and Yelp or whatever, give us positives, and we'll reward you back. Thanks again for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Take care. God bless, and we'll be back Friday. Bye-bye.